Please turn with me in your Bibles back to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings 18. There's no doubt that as we read this great introduction, which came in verses 3 to 8 of chapter 18 about Hezekiah, maybe we look at him and hold him up as a great model and example of a man of faith. And that would not be a bad thing to do, seeing as he was doing such great things for God and things seemed to be going so well with all that he was doing. He's introduced in verse 3 as a man who did right in the eyes of the Lord. And if we had been going through the whole of 2 Kings here, maybe you've read through that recently, you're familiar with it. Well, actually, Hezekiah is one of only a couple, really, of kings who were doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. The other ones were going away from God. And so Hezekiah stands out as a man of God, a man of faith. All the other kings were caving in and trusting in other things and going after other gods and being disobedient to their God. But Hezekiah comes in and he does what is right. And we see that working out from verse 4 onwards. He goes throughout the land and starts turning the people back to God. In a sense, we look at him and we see his faith was flying. His faith was flying. He's breaking down the altars that were against God. He's doing. Trusting in God, verse 5, so that there's no one like him before or after. He's holding fast to the Lord, verse 6, doing what God commands, and that the Lord is with him, verse 7. So he's prospering because God is with him. And he's feeling so strong and secure in the promises of God that he even chooses to rebel against the enemy king of Assyria and would not serve him. Here's a man of faith, and he's standing out so wonderfully. I wonder if maybe we look at him and think, oh, I wish I could be a person of faith like him. I wish I could have that faith. But sometimes there are times in life where in our Christian lives where things can be going great. That you can be stepping out in faith in so many ways. Yeah, maybe you can relate to this story as it carries on, that actually there comes a surprise. That although this man Hezekiah is held up who's as a man of faith whose faith is flying, actually, maybe it comes as a bit of disappointment that actually failure comes soon after. And we'll be particularly looking at verses 13 and onwards, just into the beginning of chapter 19, about, well, what are some of the early lessons of faith which he has to learn? Because actually the path of faith, the walk of faith, isn't one of going on and on and on into greats and greats of highness all the time in a continuous run. Actually, as God's people, we often have to face the fact that we fail in our faith. And we often don't be what we want to be. So in a sense, this is all about how do we handle the failure of faith? How do we get our heads around that? How do we understand what's going on when we thought everything was going so well and then we find ourselves floundering? How can we know what's going on? Well, actually, this is a lesson in the walk of faith for Hezekiah and for us, as to remind us that each hit we take is there to direct us to God, to direct us to him. As all else fails, look to God. As all else fails, look to God. So we start off then in verse 13 with some events that happened there in the life of Hezekiah. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Things were going so well, had been going so well for Judah. Hezekiah standing firm and he's rebelling against this king. And verse 8 we saw he was also extending the boundaries again, taking down the Philistines. They were being strong. And yet now a time of trouble comes, an attack comes upon them. So Assyria, they were a great superpower of the day, and they were coming down from the north and sweeping through, taking over nation after nation after nation, and utterly destroying them in their path, taking them out of their lands, and removing their kings. they were unstoppable, it would seem. And so, just verses 9 to 12, we saw that actually they took off the Israelites. They took off Israel, the other neighboring nation of God next to Judah. Well, they'd just been taken off, and now they're on the doorstep of Judah. An attack has come, difficulties have come. And what's going to happen? How is Hezekiah doing? How had he responded to this threat, this attack? Is he going to be a man of faith in this situation? How had he responded? Well, actually, it seems that he panics. When put under pressure, Hezekiah panics. And instead of turning wholly to the Lord God who he loved and served, actually it exposes that his faith was faltering. His faith was faltering and seemed to be in other things. So, first of all, we see that he panicked. He went back on his stand for God and begged for mercy. He's caving in as if now Sennacherib is God instead of God. Verse 14, Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I've done wrong, withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. You see, after this great stand of faith, difficulty has come and he's melting like, well, like anything. He's panicking and he's begging for mercy. It kind of reminds me of when you're in, maybe a child's in, at school and he's in the playground and the school bully comes up and says, give me your dinner money. And what does the kid do? Well, does he stand up? Does he stand up to the school bully like he was saying to all his mates that he would do? He was saying before, well, yeah, I can stand up to this guy. He's nothing. But when it comes to it, the school bully comes, give me your dinner money. And he says, okay, have my dinner money, take it. And caves in. Tries to he just caves in under the pressure. And again, we see that in Hezekiah's life. Verse 15, he pays out the money from the temple of the Lord. He tries to pay Hezekiah off. He doesn't stand up to the bully of the day. Not like the way that he was. He's caving in. And in a sense there, he's relying on the possessions that they had to try and pay him off, to hope that that would see off the attack, instead of relying on his God. Also, if you look at verse 21, there's something else which he's been trusting in as well. Apparently, he's been trusting in Egypt, a foreign nation near them, hoping that they would be able to help Judah out in this time of difficulty. So as Sennacherib has sent his messengers to try and intimidate Judah, as they're there under siege, he says, behold, you are now trusting in Egypt, that broken reed of a staff, which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it, such as Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who will trust him. It seems that actually as Assyria was getting closer and closer and closer, that actually he's thinking, well, we need help, we're in trouble, let's get Egypt to help us out. So as they were coming down from the north, they struck up an alliance with Egypt and hoped that Egypt would see them off before Assyria would get near to Judah. That's what he was hoping in. So he seems to be counting on other people to help them. But then as if that wasn't bad enough, it seems to be that he had pride in his armies as well, as Sennacherib likes to point out. Verse 23, as we carry on looking through the chapter. Come now, make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to set riders on them. There's a great temptation of the day is to trust in your big armies, to think that that is where your securities would be. That is where we would be safe. We are safe from attack. We are kept because we've got big armies. And hopefully that would see them off. But actually, as Assyria's come in, they've rewritten the rule books of military warfare. They've swept through, destroyed everybody in their path, and they've taken all the fortified cities of Judah, and he's there on the doorstep of Jerusalem. You see, Hezekiah, this man of faith, actually, the reality is that often failure happens in the life of faith, that we trust in other things. Hezekiah caving into the pressure. Hezekiah trying to rely on his possessions to buy himself out. Hezekiah relying on his neighbours, his friends, to see him through, to give him security. Hezekiah relying on his own armies to give him strength. When their security should have been in God alone, actually we find that under pressure, the cracks are showing because his trust is actually in things other than God. They're all too weak. They didn't see off the attack, and there is Sennacherib poised, ready to wipe out Jerusalem, to finish them off. These things that he was trusting in didn't see off the attack. And here he is exposed that his trust in God isn't quite what it should be. Assyria is on the doorstep, threatening to destroy them. And actually, these things that he's trusted in has left them actually in a very dangerous situation. Remember back in verse 21 that leaning on Assyria is like leaning on a broken reed of a staff, which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it. I remember a graphic story that a friend of mine was telling me about, that he went for a run through some woods and he got his leg caught as he was running and badly injured his knee. And as he tried to crawl out of the woods to go and get help, so he's tried leaning on a stick, and he was hobbling through the wood, but then the stick snapped and he landed, crashed on his knee, and the pain was awful, and he just wished he hadn't even leaned on that stick. He found his trust was misplaced. These things will just fall and fail. Hezekiah's faith had gone through a time where it was faltering. And Hezekiah's walls of security failed because they weren't up to it. They weren't up to the job because they weren't God. And it left him in a desperate situation. You see, only God can prove trustworthy in these situations. And so instead of having that wall of faith built of God, the wall is made up of weak materials, things that won't stand, things that collapse under pressure. I wonder if that's something that you've discovered already. If not, I'm sure you sure will. That there are things that we can depend on as Christians that aren't God and that will let us down. And actually, as an attack comes, so those things are exposed. So maybe you can look back to a time in your life where you were standing firm for God in the workplace, and you were stepping out in boldness, witnessing to your colleagues around you, and then you were greatly encouraged when another Christian friend came into your department, and the two of you were able to spur each other on and stand out because you were able to encourage each other, and that was good. But then that friend gets moved to another department, and the difficulties in work get harder as you start to get mocked for your faith, and you start to cave in. You think, is it really worth it? Can I even stand? And you soon realize that rather than trusting in God, your trust was in that other Christian friend being with you to support you. Or maybe as a parent in the home, you've been longing to be a godly parent, bringing up your children and doing your best for them. And then there's just one day where you've got so tired and the kids are winding you up, and then the washing machine breaks and it just seems too much, and you snap and you lose your temper with the kids, and you find you have to go back and apologize to them, and you think, what has gone wrong? And you realize that, well, when the things are going well, that's fine, but I need everything else to go right around me to stand firm as a Christian, to stand and do what God wants me to do. Actually, it's a timely reminder for us in ministry as we teach God's word. If you're involved with the youth group or Sunday school or preaching, and it's a lesson I need to learn too, that we can know times where things are going well and then we rely on our own strength. Maybe we trust in our own abilities. And then actually we come across a few evenings where we're doing a Bible study and it just becomes difficult, and we realize we can't rest on our own ability. We need God. See, we need to be reminded, don't we, that we can't trust in anything else other than God. Actually, it can feel like a confusing time. We can feel like, well, why have we failed? Why has God let me go through this? How can I go on from here? How can I press on? I feel like I've failed in the Christian life and that I can't be in God's good books at all and feeling like this. What, how can I carry on? Well, actually, the great story is in Hezekiah's life that faith gets fortified. So we've seen that faith falters. But as it falters, so faith is fortified. See, this is the pattern how God works, is that God uses the circumstances in our lives, the difficulties that come, to expose where our faith is weak, that we would look again to God. Do you remember at the beginning I said, as all else fails, look to God. Well, this is what's happening in Hezekiah's life. The report is brought before him, verse 37. They bring the message to Hezekiah with their clothes torn. They're telling him the words that's come from Sennacherib. How's he going to respond? Well, verse 1 of chapter 19. As soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. A great time of failure, a great time of difficulty. But what has it done in his life? What has it taught him? What has this failure taught him? Well, to turn to God. As all else fails, look to God. Earlier in the summer, my family and I, we went up to the Brecon Beacons. And there's a spot alongside one of the streams that comes down off the mountain where you can pull alongside in your car. There's a nice grass area where you can sit next to the stream and play in the stream, have a picnic. It makes a great day out. And one of the things I enjoy while doing that is to play about in the stream and to build up a dam. And if you, as you do that, you can get the water to pull that back up behind this dam really well. I don't know, as maybe from an engineering background, that's why I get a kick out of doing that. Maybe it's just me. But it's great fun. You can put the stones there, and bit by bit, you're building up the water, and you've got this dam that you've made. But as the water kept on trickling through, as the water kept coming through from that stream, actually, bits of that dam which I was building just kept on breaking away. The bits of that dam that were weak kept on being washed away. Maybe it was because I was just using stones that were too small and round. And actually, those weren't the best choice for building that wall. And it seemed like disappointment after disappointment came as more and more of it fell away. But actually, I soon realized that up on the Brecon Beacons, I'm a geologist, so I can explain that there's flat-plated rocks, and they're much better for building a dam in the stream than any other kind of stone, because you can stand them up and they're firm. And I soon realized that those were the best stones to use. And then as I repaired the bits which were falling away, replaced it with those stones, actually that dam got higher and higher, and I managed to get a really good dam working there. Actually, I realized that, okay, there was a disappointment of the dam falling away as the river relentlessly kept on pushing. But actually, as each bit of weakness was exposed, so I could replace it with what should be there, and it was strengthened. And that's what was happening in Hezekiah's life here. As everything was taken away, as Egypt fell under him like a splintered reed that would injure him, as the money which he used to pay off from the temple to try and get rid of Sennacherib didn't work, he was still there on his doorstep. As everything else was failing around him, as his own strength wouldn't do it, so he was left with just one option. Look to God. And that's what we find himself doing in chapter 19. He looks to the Lord. He goes to the Lord. And then he sends, verse 2, Eliakim and Shebna, and the senior priest, covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, and he wants to call out to God. And so he, verse 4, it may be that the Lord your God heard all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, had sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words that the Lord your God has heard. Therefore lift up prayer for the remnant that is left. To see in the rock bottom of that failure of faith which he'd been through, what's he left with? God. And actually, this is the strengthening of Hezekiah. He comes out a stronger man of faith after this. Not because of anything in him, but now because he's looking to God. And that's a lesson for us today as Christians, isn't it? That actually as we seek to serve God and as we seek to know wonderful things happen around us, as we want the gospel to go out, as we want Christ's name to be honored and glorified, so actually, as the things that we rely on that aren't God fail us, so actually we have to cry out to God and say, we've got nothing left in us, and look only to God. Look only to God. That's encouraging, isn't it? That's what we need. That's who we need to be looking at. So what does the story of Hezekiah teach us? Well, actually, yeah, the things that we look around at, the things around us will fail. But as all else fails, look to your God. And actually, if you were to read on through the rest of the story of Hezekiah, God is the God who can step in and who can wipe out an army in one stroke. Actually, as he's trusting God, so God is gracious to respond and will help. So as you look forward to the week ahead, and as there are things ahead which you know are going to be difficult, and you ask yourself, well, how am I going to cope? And you can look around you and say, well, I've got this, I've got that, I've got my friends, I've got the things in my house, I've got all this stuff. Is that what I need to help me? Well, actually, as we look to the week ahead, with all the difficulties that are there, the pressures that you'll face in work, the difficulties in your family, the how tough you find it to stand as a Christian, to be a faithful witness, as you look at all those difficulties, look to your God, who can see you through it. Look to Christ, whose grace is sufficient for you. And may your trust be in him, who will never fail you. Amen.